I calling in God, the servant test. In this test, we see the prophet Elisha. Okay? Elisha, E-L-I-S-H-A, was a servant to Elijah. Elijah was a prophet, but he found another servant, someone who would serve him, and his name was Elisha, E-L-I-S-H-A. The Bible says that in the book of 2 Kings 3 and 11, it says Elisha, and then it says he was used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Elisha was used to pour water on the hands of who? Elijah. I don't know if you understand this, but when a man has to go to the bathroom, and then another man has to come and pour water on his hands, that's exactly what was happening. Elisha was a servant who washed his master's hands. Every time he'd get ready to eat, he would come with a bucket of water and wash your hands, master, and dry them. He could be in a crowd of 100 people, and he would go, and he would have to have his hands washed by his servant. But today, we're talking about what seemed, when God seems so distant, the making of a disciple. God sometimes, in making us, he brings us through certain tests. And in the test, he will bring us through what we call right now the servant test. Are we willing to serve God?
Yes.
What is motivating us? Am I motivated through the numbers? Listen, am I motivated by who's here or not here? Am I motivated by how much money I have or don't have? Mm-hmm. Am I motivated by the house or my car or my family? What motivates me? It should be that I love Jesus. Mm-hmm. It should be that I love Jesus. And so the servant test is a test in which menial tasks that seems below our calling comes and presents itself before us. How will we do? How will we score in this test? I had taken a test last week. And I don't know if my teacher or somebody listened to it. Well, praise the Lord if he is, but I don't know. But I had taken a test last week. And I studied.
Yes.
And I said, okay, I'm studying. And I got to a school and got there a little bit late. Mm-hmm. And I say a little bit late, meaning I got there at maybe 15 minutes late,
yes.
20 minutes late. And I got there, and it's an essay, and it's no true and false, but just essay. You have to write essays. It was 10 questions or 10 statements that you had to do an essay on.
Mm-hmm.
And I got there, and I said, okay. And I studied, and I wrote, and I wrote, and I wrote, and I wrote, and wrote, wrote, and I wrote. And I said, man, this teacher ain't going to be able to read this writing. Woo, because I was writing. But it was flowing. It was flowing pretty good. But I understood. Listen, I understood what the questions were on the test. I understood it. I may have not been able to articulate everything and every part of it, but I understood it. And listen, Garvin, the main thing about a test, listen, you too, Etienne, about testing is that you understand it.
Yes.
That's the main thing. And so what I would do, I would write it down, then I would put it on tape, and I would play it back, understand it. You may not understand every part of it, but just get an understanding of what the story is all about, okay? And so I wrote it down, and I went to class, and the test was 3 hours, so I finished it in 2 hours. And I got to class this week, and so he handed the test out at the end of the class. And I said, okay, thanks. And I just, when he handed it to me, he did like this. So I said, oh, man, I must have bombed on this test. He, like, turned it over, like, oh, man. And I just put it in my bag and went home. I didn't even look at it until I got home. Sat down in the kitchen. I said, oh, yeah, so let me check out this test. I said, whoa, whose test is that? Whose name is on this? He had an A on it. I'm like, whoa, I got an A. Man, I had an A since kindergarten. No, praise God. I had a few more A's than that. Amen. Praise God. I'm like, wow, A. Man, Jesus. Pastor Anderson, you better thank God for that A. I said, I am thanking God for that A. But it wasn't about the A. It was about understanding. See? It was about understanding what was presented before you. Sometimes in our tests, we don't understand what's going on.
Amen.
I'm going a little ahead of myself because I'm going to talk about the understanding test. But the thing about it is that as a servant, you begin to understand what God is taking you through. We need to understand when God is speaking to us, understand when God is testing us, understand when God is bringing us from one point to the next point. And then number six is our wilderness test. We're talking about when God seems distant. Sometimes in, we're going through these different tests. I talked about the time test. It's not happening in time. It seems like God is not coming when I need him. The word test, he spoke a word to me. He said he's going to do it. Didn't happen. The character test seemed like God is testing my character. Am I going to steal this? Am I going to do the right thing or the wrong thing? The motivation test. What is motivating me? Number four, what motivation test? Number five, the servant test. And then number six is the wilderness test. In this test, God directly or indirectly guides a leader or future leader or person or brother or sister into a materially or spiritually dry and desolate place. God will test every one of us to a place where it seems like God is so distant that he's not there. Remember, we're talking about when God seems distant. See, like you can't feel God. I know you, every one of you feel God every day. I know you do every day you wake up, I feel God. Come on, let's be real. No, you don't. Because I don't feel God every day. I don't feel like hooping and hollering. I don't feel like putting on the preacher voice and putting on the preacher suit. I don't feel like none of that. Most of the time, most of the time I feel like putting on my jeans. Come on. And wearing my corduroys and wearing my sneakers around the house and wherever I'm going. But some places I can't go like that. I got to go. But, I just want to be myself. I just want to be real. Not put on all that. And I don't feel, sometimes I don't feel God. I just don't feel spiritual. I don't feel all that. But guess what? That's not my motivation. No, it's not. You ever seen, I saw one of the actors, I'm not going to mention his name, but I was at the mall, and a couple of years ago, I saw one of the actors, excuse me, and he had this white thing on his head. I'm like, man, what's that? Oh, and I looked, and I said, what's up? So-and-so. I didn't mention his name. He said, and he kept going. So then, if I tell you your name, you know him right away, but I'm not. And then I said, okay, all right. I said, yeah. I said, let me go talk to him because I don't want to go into full detail, but he was in association with somebody else that I knew. And to make a long story short, the next week, I just saw him again at a red carpet at a premiere. And I said, man, and we got to talk. But guess what? He had a lot of money. He looked like he was homeless. He looked like someone on the street. He didn't have to put on no air. He had to put on nothing. Because why? Because he knew who he was. See, when you're in Christ, you ain't got to put on no air. Oh, if I can just put church, have church every day. Listen, church is in your heart. You make church. Listen. You put church in you and you'll have church forever. You put Christ in you, you have Christ forever. If you need church, if you need God just when you come to church, guess what? You got a problem. Mm-hmm. You got to have God everywhere you go. And so your wilderness test sometimes is that God puts you in a place where it seems like you're so distant. Mm. Look at Moses. Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 2 and in Exodus chapter 3 that Moses, listen, it took God 40 years to speak to Moses. Listen, the Bible says in Exodus, Acts chapter 7, verse 29 and 30, it states that 40 years had passed before an angel of the Lord had called Moses to deliver God's people from Israel, from Egyptian slavery. Let's look at that. Exodus 3 and 1. Exodus 3 and 1. I was using Acts because Acts talked about Moses' experience. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Genesis, Exodus, right? It's the next book of the Bible. Am I right?
Amen.
Genesis, Exodus 3 and verse 1. The second book in the Bible. Three and verse one. Oh, why I keep skipping three? My goodness, where are you? There you go. Pastor Andrew, you want to read that?
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed.
Yes.
And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I.
Yes.
And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground.
Yes.
Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
Yes.
And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God.
Yes.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt.
Yes.
And have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters.
Mm-hmm.
For I know their sorrow.
That's good. Thank you, Pastor Andrew. Thank you. I know that the Lord began to speak to Moses. In Acts, in Acts chapter 7, this is in conjunction with that, it says, then fled Moses at the saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. This is in conjunction with what we just spoke about in Exodus chapter 3. 40 years had taken place before God began to speak to Moses. 40 years. I'm like, man, Lord, you gonna be... I'm going to be preaching like this for 40 years here? Come on, let's be for real.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us are willing, think about how many of us are willing to wait until God releases us? See, it's not easy. Listen, God will take us through tests. God knows what time it is. He knows what we need. But 40 years had taken place. And then God speaks to Moses. Man, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. And then number seven, this is the last test I'm going to talk to you about today. Number seven is the misunderstanding test. We have today so much misunderstanding going on today. So much misunderstanding in our churches, in our homes, in our families. So much misunderstanding. On the buses, people are getting shot and killed today because of misunderstanding. Somebody in New York walked over to somebody and just shot him. It was a misunderstanding. I was over in New York. A friend of mine was a police officer, Port Authority, years ago. He retired now. Went over to New York, and two things happened within an hour while we were over there. Mm-hmm. We went to a store, plain clothes. We just dressing, going to look for some suits right across from Madison Square Garden, We just trying some suits. And my friend, he had his gun on him because he carried, you know, his revolver. And he had his gun on him. But the guy in the store didn't know he was a cop. So he hit the button. When he hit that button, next thing you know, this plainclothes detective comes in with a shotgun like this. And my friend says, Carl, don't come out. Stay in there. So he said that. I didn't say nothing. I ain't going to peek my head out. I ain't gonna do that. And so the guy checked him out, showed him his ID, boom, boom, boom. Said, okay, I'm sorry, we didn't know. And the guy apologized in the store, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't know who you were. Because they get robbed. They get robbed all the time. I could have got shot because of misunderstanding. Hey, what's going on? Bang! That's right. Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
No questions asked.
Right.
Oh, what happened? Oh, the gun just went off. Come on, we hear that today, right? It just went off. Oh, I fell. Bang! So it happens, three shots got off because I fell. Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on. Just because I fell, misunderstanding. Okay? There was a misunderstanding with Moses. Oh, the second thing that happened. That's we left that scene We didn't buy nothing from the store. We was just so shook up. These guys had these guns. They were going to blow us away. So we said, let's go back to Port Authority. We went back to Port Authority. And we walked back to Port Authority, walked up the street. And it was my friend, his partner, one of his partners was there. He was sweating. He was mad. So I can't believe it. I said, what happened? What happened? And it was a big guy, white guy, big guy, cop. He's standing there. He said, man, I'm standing here. And this guy walks up to me and says, hey, have you seen my mother? He says, no. He punched him square in the chest. He punched the cop square in his chest. The cop was in shock. He goes, oh. And he called back up and said, man, he jumped on this guy. The guy was, his mind was out, man. Mind was out. Jesus. Misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get misunderstanding because people's mind ain't right. Yeah. Come on. Some people's mind is right and still get misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Come on. Moses had a misunderstanding. There was a misunderstanding with our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:3, it says, for consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. That contradiction means misunderstanding. Consider him who also experienced misunderstanding. Jesus experienced misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. And because of that, see, because of that, what happened with Jesus? Come on, y'all got to tell me. He was what? He was crucified. They didn't know who he was. The Son of God? Yeah, he healed the sick. He raised Lazarus. But I don't care. We're going to kill him anyway. Misunderstanding. They didn't know he was the Son of God. It had to take place because it had to fulfill prophecy. But guess what? The case is, there was a misunderstanding. A lot of times, God will take us through tests. The Bible says that, he says, for consider Jesus, consider what Jesus did. See, if Jesus would have just said, oh, you know what? Oh, it was a misunderstanding. Okay, no, I made a mistake. No, let me not go on a cross. Don't crucify me. I made a mistake. The Bible says, consider Jesus, consider what he did. Yes. He endured such contradiction of sinners. See, when there's a misunderstanding, you can't compromise your stand. Mm-hmm. Y'all gotta hear me. You cannot compromise your stand. There's a misunderstanding about black people today. Come on. People of color. So every time now, because there's a misunderstanding, oh, we gotta pile down and oh yes, master. Oh yeah. No. Every once in a while, I'll go places as a black man. I'm putting down, it's not everybody, but I go there and I'm walking up the street. I can have a suit on. And somebody who's not of color can take their pocketbook and switch it to the other side. Come on, y'all. Come on. I'm in the car. All of a sudden, they roll that window up and they put their pocketbook over near them on the floor. Y'all, see, y'all, you know, your experience, you'll see it. Come on. I'm in the supermarket, and everybody else is going up the path, up in the aisle. But as soon as I come, and let me tell you what happens, and then I'm going to tell you what you shouldn't do. When I come near, they take the pocketbook out of the basket, and they put it under their arm. You know how embarrassed I be sometimes? But that's not on me. That's on them. Now, let me say something to you, ladies, gentlemen, whoever. When you have your pocketbook or something to have your money in it, do not put it in your shopping cart. Because that's where thieves come and steal your money. It ain't got nothing to do with black. Come on. That's true. Mm-hmm. A thief will steal. A woman could be a thief. Come on. A white woman can be a thief. And there's plenty of them and plenty of blacks. Plenty of blacks. Come on. They could be a thief. Don't put your... I know, ladies, you like to keep your pocketbook down so you can finish your shopping. And you turn around. I worked store security for 1 week. That was the biggest problem that was in all the stores. That lady put their pocketbook there and turned around and it's gone. It's gone. Don't put your pocketbook in the shopping cart in the basket. Hold it under your arm. Hold it under your arm. Keep it secure. So going back in this misunderstanding, sometimes people misunderstand us. They figure we just, all we want is just anything. You guys are gonna go, you're gonna go for jobs. Young folks, you're going to go for jobs. And because you black, they're going to say, okay, you know, they're thinking it's settle for anything. Just get your feet in the door. Okay, I understand that concept. But don't settle for anything. Come on.
Amen.
Somebody just got a job last week who's not of color, and they make it $15 an hour. Now you got to make $7 an hour? No. You walk in there and say, and they're going to ask you, how much would you like to get paid? Mm-hmm. Don't say minimum wage. No, I want to get paid this, that you can feel comfortable with. Now, if they don't like that, they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you, well, we can't afford that. Right. What we can afford is this. Okay, now we're talking. Okay? Oh, I'll take $7 an hour. Oh, I was going to give them 20. Let me tell you my experience, and I'm going to tell you point blank my experience. My thinking was, I went to my boss to ask him for a raise one time. And I thought below myself. No, I'm sorry, not a raise. When I first got this job at one of the colleges. And so they asked me after the second interview, how much would you like to make? And I told them, I think it was, $18,000 at the time, or $19,000 as administrator, just coming in the door, I was going from 19,000 to 25,000, that's what it was. He said, how much would you like? I said, well, about 21,000 would be fine. This is entry level. This wasn't because I wouldn't sell for no $19,000 job right now. That's not, you're professional. You shouldn't be selling for no money. So I said, yeah. I said, so the boss told me about a few years later, he says, Carl, when you first applied for this position, I don't understand why you put yourself down so low. Mm-hmm. You should apply for an additional $3,000 in addition to what you asked for, and I would have gave it to you. I'm like, what? And he said to me, if you would have asked for this, I would have always brought it down. See, but because we sometimes black and we consider, oh, I just got to get my feet in the door, and we settle for less because if I don't get this job, I must have blew it. No. Ask for it. Yes. Misunderstanding. See, we misunderstand that we are of skills, that we went to school, that we worked hard, and yes, we can ask for a salary, a good salary. We can go and say, I'm going to do this. So I'm closing. Time test, word test, character test, motivation test, servant test, wilderness test, misunderstanding test. God will allow us to go through all these tests so that he can be glorified in our life. God wants to be glorified. God wants to be magnified.
Yes.
But are we willing to allow God, to allow him to go through these tests?
Yes.
Are we willing to go through these tests so he can use us for his glory? Because when we go through these tests, guess what? He's getting all the glory. But just hold on. The test that you're going through, want to give up in life,
want to
settle for less, but we have to do the right thing. Yeah. We got to stand on God's word and be persistent on what he told us. Let's just pray right now. Father, in your precious name, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that you have made. And God, we will rejoice and be glad therein. Thank you for everyone that is here under the sound of my voice. Thank you for everyone that's on the internet, Father, streaming, oh God. We thank you for everyone. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, Father, that you would meet their needs right now. Every test that they're going through, every trial, every discomfort or this misunderstanding, oh God, every time test, word test, character test, motivation test, servant test, oh God, wilderness test. Many are in the wilderness and don't know how to get out. Father, you know how to get them out. Father, we pray as they finally go through this test that you will strengthen them, that you would encourage their heart, that you will show them, oh Father, that you are the beginning and the end. Father, bless each and every one of us, Father, as we heard this word. Let us be encouraged. Let it be strengthened in our hearts, in our mind, in our soul, in our spirits. And we give you the praise and we honor you, God, in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Put your hands together and bless the Lord, would you? Seem like every week I'm going through a test. If it ain't one thing, an old expression from the mothers would be, if it's not one thing, it's the other. If it's not one thing, it's the other. Man, we go through some stuff, man. Every week, you look on the news, and I was thinking about this whole election. 1 week this is happening with this person, next week this is happening with this person. They kept switching it off and trading it off. This. I'm like, my God, all this stuff. And then you hear the news, this happened and that happened. Let me tell you, church, all you can do is get in the place of God. I encourage you to get in a place of God. Get in a place of prayer, seeking the mind of God, just waiting on God. Because when you go in the place of God, he will be with you. The Bible says in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Come on. He shall be my what? Shield and my buckler. See, God will protect us. But we got to get in that secret place of prayer, of commitment with God. And when you're in that place, he's going to be there with you. He's going to encourage your mind. He's going to encourage your body. He's going to strengthen you in every way. In every way of your life, he will do it. But just get in that secret place. We thank God for the word. Amen. Let's get prepared to bless the Lord in our giving. Give God praise. Amen. We thank God for the opportunity. I thank God for the opportunity to give, amen, unto God and give unto the Lord and bless God in our giving, in our givings. You know, the Bible teaches us that you can't beat God giving no matter how you try. No, that's not a scripture. It's not a scripture, but it's a song, but it's the expression from the scriptures that you can't beat God giving no matter how you try. And God wants to bless us, but we just have to be faithful. We have to be faithful in our giving. Amen. Be faithful in our giving in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank God for this opportunity. Amen. Did you stop? Did you stop that? Stop it. Yes, let's stop it. We finish it. Amen. Amen. We thank God for the opportunity to give unto the Lord and bless the Lord
thank
in our giving.
Lord.
Amen. Thank God. Amen. Amen. We're trying to, this during this season, amen, to stay in this building, amen, during this winter season. And so I've talked to two different individuals trying to get price quotes. I'm putting some heaters in here, a blower in here. I looked at some baseboard. Then I looked at, you know, when you go to a hotel, they got the heaters, the air conditioning heater all together in one built in. I thought about that. We stayed at a hotel in Pennsylvania. I said, wow, that'd be really good because it really kicks out some good heat. Two of those would really heat this place up. Really, even one. I mean, really good. So I got to talk to somebody and see if maybe we can use those instead. They would have to put it in one of the windows so it blows out. So we're gonna see how that can work out. But it costs money, church. It costs money. Amen. It costs money. So let's be faithful in our giving
thank
unto the Lord,
Lord
that he can bless us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give unto you, Father. Bless these here, our gifts, Father, as we give it back to you, Father. Bless the stewardship of it as this church we use it for your glory and for your praise, oh God.
Yes.
Bless each and every one as they give, Father, from their heart.
Yes.
Bless them, bless them, bless them. And Father, we'll give you the praise and we'll honor you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
The blessings of the Lord make it rich and add up no sorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed as you give. Anthony, you can bless us with some music. In Jesus' name.
Hungry, you fed me.
Thank you, Lord.
Naked, you.